This is GMJ Audio from the Georgian Medical Journal News. Copper deficiency may explain iron-resistant anemia, why the overlooked mineral matters for oxygen transport. Editorially reviewed by Prof. Georgia Kadzi, MD, MPH, PhD, GM News Desk. Moderate evidence, iron alone cannot deliver oxygen to cells. Copper, a cofactor in multiple enzymatic pathways, is essential for iron mobilization and transport into circulation. Yet copper deficiency remains underrecognized in clinical practice. When copper stores deplete, iron becomes functionally trapped in tissues despite adequate iron intake or serum ferritin levels, potentially explaining treatment-resistant anemia in some patients. Key takeaways: copper-dependent enzymes, ceruloplasmin and hefestin, are required to move iron from storage into circulation. Without adequate copper, iron cannot be loaded onto transferring. Some patients with normal iron and ferritin levels may experience fatigue and anemia-like symptoms due to functional iron deficiency caused by copper insufficiency. Modern Western diets often meet baseline iron intake but fall short on copper, particularly when zinc supplementation is high or organ meat consumption is low. The recommended dietary allowance, RDA, for copper is 0.9 mg per day for adults, but therapeutic assessment may require 1 mg per day in cases of documented deficiency. Copper and iron in oxygen transport, a two-step process. Copper enables iron mobilization, iron binds oxygen. Both steps are necessary for effective oxygen delivery. Iron, oxygen binding in hemoglobin essential, copper. Iron mobilization via ceruloplasmin essential, iron alone, without copper, non-functional. Source, physiological iron metabolism pathways. Georgian Medical Journal News. How copper controls iron circulation. Iron forms the core of hemoglobin, the protein that binds oxygen in red blood cells, but iron's usefulness depends entirely on copper. According to the physiology of iron metabolism, copper-dependent enzymes, particularly ceruloplasmin and hefestin, catalyze the oxidation of iron from its inactive ferrous Fe2+ form to its active ferric Fe3+ form, the only form that can bind to transferrin, the transport protein that carries iron through the bloodstream to tissues. Without sufficient copper, this oxidation step fails. Iron accumulates in tissues, especially the liver, spleen, and intestinal epithelium, unable to enter circulation or reach red blood cell precursors in bone marrow. The result is a functional iron deficiency. Despite normal or even elevated iron and ferritin levels, the body cannot utilize iron effectively. Transferrin saturation drops, red blood cell production falters, and patients develop fatigue and anemia-like symptoms with no obvious cause. This mechanism is documented in ceruloplasmin research, examining its role in ferroxidase activity. Copper deficiency causes functional iron deficiency. Iron becomes trapped in tissues and cannot be mobilized onto transferrin, even when total iron stores appear adequate on standard blood tests. Physiology of iron-copper interdependence in hematopoiesis. Why iron supplementation alone may fail. Patients who take iron supplements but experience persistent fatigue and anemia-like symptoms despite normal labs may have undiagnosed copper deficiency. Standard iron panels, serum iron, ferritin, and transferrin saturation do not assess copper status, meaning the underlying problem can be overlooked for months or years. The patient receives increasing doses of iron, which accumulates unused in tissues, while the true bottleneck, copper availability, remains unaddressed. This scenario occurs most commonly in populations with high zinc supplementation, which competitively inhibits copper absorption in the intestine. It also occurs in patients consuming low nutrient density diets lacking organ meats, shellfish, or nuts, the primary food sources of bioavailable copper. A dietary assessment revealing copper intake below the recommended dietary allowance, RDA, of 0.9 mg per day in an adult, combined with unexplained anemia or fatigue, should prompt copper status testing, serum copper, ceruloplasmin, recommended intakes and food sources. The RDA for copper is 0.9 mg per day for adults, with an upper tolerable limit of 10 mg per day, according to dietary reference intakes. In clinical settings addressing documented copper deficiency, daily intakes of approximately 1 mg per day may be therapeutic, though supervision is advised to avoid exceeding 2 mg day long term without professional guidance. Iron requirements vary by sex and age. Premenopausal women need 18 mg day, while men and postmenopausal women require 8 mg day. However, iron supplementation above the RDA should be reserved for confirmed deficiency, as excess iron generates oxidative stress and may accumulate in organs. Food sources of copper include liver, oysters and other shellfish, cocoa and dark chocolate, nuts, and seeds. Red meat and eggs are iron-rich but relatively copper-poor, meaning a high iron diet from muscle meat alone may worsen the copper-iron imbalance. Notably, refined carbohydrates and processed foods contain minimal copper, so modern industrial diets often fail to meet copper requirements despite adequate energy intake. For patients taking zinc supplements, maintaining a zinc-to-copper ratio of approximately 10:1 helps prevent competitive inhibition of copper absorption. 0.9 mg per day, recommended dietary allowance for copper in adults. Many modern diets deliver less, especially when refined foods dominate and organ meat consumption is low. Clinical implications and assessment. Clinicians evaluating treatment-resistant anemia or unexplained fatigue should expand the differential diagnosis to include copper deficiency, particularly when iron supplementation has failed to resolve symptoms despite adequate dosing. Serum copper, ceruloplasmin, and copper-dependent enzyme activity such as cytochrome C oxidase and erythrocytes provide more specific assessment than iron panels alone. A dietary history revealing low intake of copper-rich foods, liver, shellfish, nuts, seeds, combined with high zinc supplementation or high refined food intake should raise suspicion. If copper deficiency is confirmed and iron deficiency coexists, both must be addressed. Iron at 8 to 18 mg a day depending on age and sex, and copper at approximately 1 mg per day, with reassessment at 4 to 6 weeks. Zinc supplementation, if continued, should be adjusted to maintain the 10:1 ratio. This integrated approach addresses both halves of the oxygen transport equation and may resolve symptoms that iron alone could not. What this means for patients: if you experience fatigue and anemia-like symptoms despite taking iron supplements and having normal blood iron levels, ask your doctor to check your copper status and dietary copper intake. Ensure your diet includes copper-rich foods, liver, shellfish, nuts, or discuss supplementation with your healthcare provider. For clinicians, expand the diagnostic workup for treatment-resistant anemia to include copper assessment, serum copper, ceruloplasmin. Review zinc supplementation and dietary copper intake. Consider dual iron and copper repletion if both deficiencies are present, as iron supplementation alone will fail without adequate copper. For policymakers, public health guidance on anemia prevention and iron supplementation programs should acknowledge the copper-iron interdependence and ensure that nutritional education includes copper-rich food sources. Zinc supplementation programs should monitor for unintended copper depletion, particularly in vulnerable populations. Frequently asked questions: can I have normal iron levels but still be functionally iron deficient? Yes. If copper is insufficient, iron cannot be mobilized from storage onto transferrin. Your serum iron and ferritin may appear normal, but transferrin saturation will drop and red blood cell production will falter. This functional iron deficiency produces anemia-like symptoms despite adequate iron stores. It is detected by low transferrin saturation, low ceruloplasmin, and low serum copper, rather than by ferritin alone. How does zinc supplementation affect copper status? High zinc intake competitively inhibits copper absorption in the intestine through the same transporters. If you take zinc supplements, maintain a zinc-to-copper ratio of approximately 10:1 to prevent secondary copper depletion. For example, if taking 15 mg of zinc daily, ensure copper intake is at least 1.5 mg per day. This is particularly important for long-term supplementation, which foods are reliable sources of both iron and copper. Organ meats, liver, and shellfish, oysters, clams, are among the best dual sources of both iron and copper. Red meat provides abundant iron but less copper. To ensure adequate copper alongside iron, combine red meat with copper-rich foods. Dark chocolate, nuts, especially cashews, seeds, and legumes. Refined grains and processed foods are poor sources of both minerals. The clinical recognition of copper's role in iron metabolism represents an important shift towards systems-level understanding of micronutrient interdependence. As evidence-based practice increasingly integrates functional nutritional assessment, testing for and addressing copper deficiency in patients with treatment-resistant anemia may become standard. Further research into the prevalence of copper-iron imbalance in populations with high zinc supplementation and low organ meat consumption could clarify the true burden of this overlooked metabolic bottleneck. For more on evidence-based micronutrient assessment, see clinical updates and nutrition guidance on Shenakimi. Source: Iron-Copper Interdependence in Oxygen Transport Physiology, Nutritional Biochemistry of Iron Metabolism and Ceruloplasmin Function.